Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi guys, this is Ted from Fantasy Football Scout, and you're listening to Ted Talks FPL. If you prefer to watch live, I stream over on YouTube every Monday, so head over there and search for Fantasy Football Scout. Thanks for listening. What's going on, FPL managers? Welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Ted, and we're talking about my top three drafts today ahead of the Game Week 1 deadline. And I'm joined by Ryan, Football Chatbox, to chat through it with me. How are you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing good, Ted. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm a little bit stressed at the moment because there's this massive spider in my room. It's like this big. I'm terrified. So, you know, you've got to try and distract me with all of these, this talk of these drafts.
I'll do my best.
It's just hiding. I can see it's hiding in the corner over there. It's just when I can't see it, I'm going to be terrified. Anyway, everyone, you can call me a wimp in the chat. It's all fine. So, how's your FPL planning going for the season? Are you ready? Are you set on a particular team?
Mostly set. Right now on a premium. And we have a three-man draft as well. We'll discuss about that. But right now on a three-man, if I'm slightly tinkering, but it's not too many players changing. It's like one or two at the moment. Slightly deciding between goalkeeper, that's one position, and defense as well, slightly. But yeah, not too much of a difference in terms of the core players.
Yeah, I feel like I'm settled on the core players as well. It's just what we're going to discuss today. We've got three different types. We've got threemium with three premium players. We've got big at the back, which I think is very popular at the moment in the community. And we've got spreading the cash. What happens if you only have one premium player and you get all of these amazing 8-9 million players in your team, including defense? So it's, there's definitely options still out there, but the core players definitely still do remain. So without further ado, let's get onto it. And, I'm going to start with the big at the back draft, which is very popular in the community. I've seen plenty of drafts exactly the same as this, so I would not be surprised if this becomes the template or is the template in certain communities. I've seen plenty of these drafts on Twitter, as I've said. So, Ryan, what do you think of this? And is it very similar to your team?
So not exactly. Let's look at it in terms of team-wise. I don't have any Chelsea coverage, mainly because of their recent performances in preseason. They've also not been able to sign the two centre-backs they wanted. They've only landed Koulibaly, couldn't get Koundé. Apart from that, I do have City coverage. I have one Liverpool cover, and I've got a Spurs cover as well. Goalkeeper is slightly different. I have a bit more of a cheaper goalkeeper. Robertson is someone I've seen where people are deciding between him, Diaz, and Nunes in the third Liverpool pick. And I think Robertson's a really good pick as well. Very underrated by a lot of managers, I think. Every season, we start the season and we're like, Trent, but we don't consider Robertson. I think he could do really well, especially with Nunes up front.
Yeah, it's definitely a conundrum about which third Liverpool player to pick. Robertson, Diaz, I mean, Darwin Núñez has started preseason well. He hasn't started many games, but he's come on from the bench and scored. So plenty of attention there. 9 million, a little bit more expensive than Robertson and Diaz. But I've almost forgotten to include the podcast listeners here. I'm going to read out this team for their benefit. We've got Edison in goal, and then five players in defence. James, Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold, Robertson and Perisic, who has come back into drafts recently. Yeah. Now he's displayed some minutes, does look good on the ball for Spurs, even though he probably needs to get that fitness up even more. In midfield, we've got Neto, Salah and Martinelli, the popular cheap slash premium midfield. And then we've got the double up of Haaland and Jesus up front. So A fairly standard draft. You mentioned no Chelsea coverage in your team. Something that I've been faltering with recently is I did have James and Chilwell very, very early on. Now, Chilwell hasn't had that many minutes pre-season. And now James is occasionally playing right centre-back. And there's talk of them going after Denzel Dumfries. And, you know, it's only gossip. But at the end of the day, all of these signings, Koulibaly, I don't know whether Koundé's happening, does that threaten James's position as a right wing back?
Potentially, yes, because we've seen it last season as well, right? He has the ability to play right wing back and right centre back. When he plays right centre back, he's not as involved, and his appeal mostly comes from that right wing back role. But for Chelsea are more settled in a three back formation, right? They seem much more better. I saw the game against Arsenal, the preseason one. Played a fullback, didn't really work. Arsenal just dominated over them. So for me right now, I think it's a wait and watch with Chelsea. I just want to see Tuchel, what will he do at the start? Obviously, their fixtures are really great. Like their first 10 game weeks, they must be like right on top of the ticker as well. But for me, I think I can wait and watch. I just don't want to risk it right now because they aren't showing signs of even keeping a clean sheet. And that's what usually you think would be staple from Chelsea, that you get those clean sheet points at least banked in. But right now it's not looking good, which is why no Chelsea coverage.
Yeah, a lot of people choosing Ramsdale over the likes of Mendy at that 5 million goalkeeper position. It's not surprising them letting four goals into Arsenal and struggling elsewhere pre-season. So I completely get what you're saying there. I think you're right. I think we wait and see before doubling or even trebling up on Chelsea at some point. Mason Mount could be an 8.0 million option in midfield, but he's been struggling. Doesn't look that consistent between games. So maybe he's a wait and see as well. But let's move on from Chelsea and talk about Tottenham, because Tottenham look exciting. Doherty and Perisic have started playing a couple of games. There's been talk from Conte that they have struggled with fitness pre-season, but that's getting better. They do look first choice, in my opinion. Any reasons to double up with those two, or is maybe just Perisic, or maybe even going without because of those fitness concerns, an option?
So before their last game, I wouldn't have even considered Perisic. And then I saw that last game and I was like, this guy's playing almost like right mid. At times, he was even further forward than Heung-min Son. So I was like, this guy needs to be in my team. With regards to Doherty, similar situation, very attacking fullback. We've seen what he's capable of last season as well. I'm not too worried with Conte's quotes, because it kind of tells me like, okay, these guys need minutes. They're going to be my first choice fullbacks. And this is where I think the 5-sub rule might actually help FPL managers, because let's say they don't start, there's a high likely chance that they still come on and get some minutes. And even a 30-minute Perisic could do damage for me, at least. That's what I'm thinking. Because he could come play right mid even if needed and could get an attacking return.
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Obviously, we want defenders to play 60 minutes, but you're right. If he does come on, he has got that superior attacking threat. I mean, Doherty's probably the same. You know, he gets, you know, bombs forward and gets a couple of headed chances per game, doesn't he? So, I mean, they both offer that element of attacking threat, but yeah, it's not ideal if your defender's not playing now and then. So that is the element of doubt we have with Perisic and Doherty. But I think I'm tempted because you said, you know, you saw the last game. He does look really, really good. So I think, you know, Sorry, go on.
He played a lot of minutes as well. That's another promising sign that previously we didn't really have because we didn't know how many minutes he was going to play. Yeah. And that kind of tells me, okay, he's nearing fitness, at least nearing full fitness. So even if he plays like 60 minutes, 70 minutes, banks a clean sheet, I'm fine with that to start off with.
Nice job. Okay, let's move into midfield because I think Cancelo, Alexander-Arnold and Robertson sort of speak for themselves. You know exactly what you're going to get attacking returns in and of obviously clean sheet points in some of the best defences in the league. Pedro Neto is definitely a talking point here because the community have been hot on him since the start, since the game launched. There's been recent trending towards Leon Bailey at Aston Villa with them playing Bournemouth in game week one, who were struggling pre-season. So what are your thoughts between Neto and Bailey, for instance?
For now, I have Leon Bailey in my team. I don't have Neto. Mainly, I don't know. That's probably not due to Neto, but more due to like Wolves as a team. I've never properly considered them as a very attacking team, especially last season. They didn't really convince as much. And with the loss of Jimenez, they might, I don't know how much of an impact that's going to cost them attacking-wise. You could say that maybe it now puts Neto more as a more prominent role. Not even Neto, you got the likes of Podence as well at the same price bracket. Maybe it puts them a bit more ahead in terms of appeal, but it could also dent them at the same time. So I'm not really sure on that. I've seen the Sporting highlights and Neto is quite involved as well in most of Wolves' attacking play, so I can see why managers are going there. Their ticker at the start as well, the run looks pretty good. But for now, I'm just going with Leon Bailey because he's Aston Villa seemed like a bit more of a better team for me, in my perspective. And they have a good opening three fixtures. After that, I could probably consider switching Bailey to Neto as a possibility. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a toss-up for me as well. And you make all good points. I think that the injury to Jimenez probably doesn't help Neto. And the fact, I think Morgan Gibbs-White had a bit of an injury concern at the end of that Sporting game as well. So that's not going to help him either. But Neto does look more dynamic out of the two, in my opinion. Very, very, very direct. And I think overall, over the course of the first six game weeks for Wolves, I think their fixtures are better on the whole. Yeah. I think you're picking Leon Bailey for probably game week one and maybe game week two against Everton. After that, you've got Palace, West Ham, and then I think it's Arsenal, and then
they get worse and worse.
Yeah. So I think Neto's probably the better long-term cheap pick. But you've also got McNeil at Everton if you really wanted to roll the dice. So, yeah, I think Neto, if you want to play short-term versus long-term, you know, just go with your gut. But I'm going to stick with Neto. You've got Bailey. We'll see we'll see which prevails.
Which pick works out, yeah.
I just want to talk about Haaland, really, because we're going to focus on these other guys, Salah, Martinelli and Jesus later on. But Haaland impressed you during the Community Shield, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, he did. Obviously, there was the whole talk of who will get like Haaland, Kane, Nunes, who will be the better pick. Kane seems to be edging it quite a bit right now, mainly because of his preseason form as well. And we know what we're getting from Kane compared to Haaland. We're not really sure what we're going to get. But I think what I saw from the Community Shield was enough for me to like justify keeping him in the team and not having to get rid of him just after one game. Obviously, he missed a really good chance at the end as well, which I thought he should have buried. But if City can kind of sort their system out to be able to get the ball to Haaland way more quicker, then I think they've got a really good asset on their hands. It's just a matter of Pep being able to change his system a bit because City aren't used to having like a static number nine who's going to play that and occupy that role. And Haaland's a player who's been used to a counter-attacking team in Dortmund, being able to make runs in behind. City, on the other hand, they like to control possession, cutting. You saw Mahrez in the Community Shield try to cut in a lot, didn't find the run of Haaland. KDB was the only one looking for it, but yeah, we'll have to see. But at the moment, I'm keeping faith in him because, especially game week two, Bournemouth, lack of defenders and all of that, could be a goal fest. Oh, and I want part of it.
Yeah, we definitely need some City players for that game. It could be. I kind of want, you know, as soon as that game finished, I was like, I want KDB and Haaland and Salah. Mm. And then I did some sort of threemium draft that I actually didn't like, but you kind of need all of them. And you're quite right. Like Haaland had the XG, had the chances. Mm. City need to work out how to play with him. But his movement was the most impressive element for me. Yes. And he's so elegant for a 6'5" and so speedy as well. He just has everything, and I just can't see him scoring tons of goals this season, assuming he stays fit. So I'd be very scared about going out and going out without him.
Yeah.
Not going out with him. That would be also quite scary, I imagine. But so I think I probably favour him over Harry Kane. We've got a draft later with Kane and Haaland in it, so we can have a look at that. But yeah, the other element of that City game was also how immediately Mahrez and Grealish became non-options overnight.
Yes.
And I was so keen on getting both of them in my team because, you know, Grealish at 7 million could definitely break the game. And Mahrez, I was almost 100% sure that he was going to have a bit of free reign on that right wing with not that much competition. The problem is they both weren't very good at tracking back and left a lot of holes. So I wonder whether Foden gets the nod more often than not, and maybe even Alvarez. You were impressed with him.
Yes, I think Alvarez at like 6.5 million. Given that he can play across all three of those positions in the front line, could be a really tempting option. The only problem right now is minutes, and I don't think he'll start. I still think Mahrez might start on that right-hand side, but Foden, like you mentioned, he is someone I think who will eventually get in and will probably be starting games, because I don't expect to see Foden playing game week one, mainly because of the fact that he had less preseason minutes, but sooner or later, he's going to be starting alongside Haaland. Grealish, I was a bit disappointed because he looked good in the game against Bayern. And for 7 million, it's really good value, but I don't know. Can we base it off one game? Maybe we need to see a bit more.
That's how quickly perceptions change in FPL. Yeah. One game and everyone's going, these two players are non-options. So if that happens further down the line, I don't want to be reacting to one game's worth of information that can cause such a massive divide in the community. I don't really want to get on that City train with all of these with this uncertainty, as it were. I'd rather go for surefire City players. Haaland, Cancelo and Edison are definitely three of the most sure players to play, and De Bruyne, you could add him to that as well.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Just moving on from City, like just to discuss the pros and cons of this team, this structure, there's probably an element of inflexibility here.
Yes.
There's no 8 million options in midfield. If some of them start showing them to be must-haves, very difficult to get on those players.
It doesn't have to necessarily be like even 8 million options, but the ability to move from defense to maybe anything in the attacking line might be a bit more harder. You won't be able to react as easily because you've got to, first of all, sort some funds out. Even downgrading one of the defenders might not be enough. You might have to move a couple pieces around to be able to get the player you want. That's kind of the only issue in that. But then again, it depends on how you set your team up. This season is slightly different to normal seasons, where this one we can play a bit more shorter in terms of game. Maybe 4 to 6 game weeks, we can look at a first wild card. So that's something that managers have been considering in terms of increasing their risk appetite, I would say. But yeah, I agree with you. The ability to change and react if something happens in the first few game weeks is a bit more harder in this team.
Okay, so it's a good segue into moving on to the second team here, where we're going to spread the cash and not go with a second premium. Do you know what, Ryan? I am tempted, mate. I'm really tempted. you know, there's a lot of 8 million options. There's a lot of downsides to each of them. Mount maybe, you know, hasn't been in good form. Saka, you've got Martinelli there at 2 million cheaper. The City mids are rotation risks. Diaz, you could go Robertson over him. That, all of that stuff. As Kulusevski, you've got Richarlison. You know, so many. I could go on because there's a few more. Madison, there's talks of Newcastle. But I've got this 4-5-1 here that I really do like. Obviously, there's no Haaland, there's no Kane, there's no Son. That's the immediate, you could add De Bruyne to that list as well.
Yeah.
The immediate red flags. But do you gain the lack of points or the loss of points with the strength in depth here, the spreading the cash? Do you like it? Do you hate it?
I guess me personally, I would try to be a bit more safe at the start of the season. I don't want to be looking at a 2 million rank come game week one. But I kind of like this team because it's slightly different. It's something we haven't seen before. Foden, Bowen right now aren't in too many drafts. Martinelli, Luis Diaz, Salah, you kind of see it quite a bit. So your midfield is pretty strong, but you are omitting the likes of a Haaland, the likes of a Kane, Heung-Min Son, KDB, Darwin Nunes. So those are a couple options that you're missing. But yeah, I don't know. It's a very hard thing to say with regards to this team. You've got Bowen there. Now, I like Bowen as a pick. I think he's a bit too pricey. But he's got three tough games in the first six. Is that a bit of a worry?
Potentially. I mean, I think we've seen West Ham do really well against Liverpool and City at various stages last season. There's no reason why that can't be replicated. And I do like his fixtures immediately after City. So I think a lot of people haven't seen any drafts with Bowen, and we've forgotten how good he was. Of course, he did get that injury towards the end of the season. But people have forgotten how good he was and how, you know, such an emerging talent. And I think, as Simon March said in his team reveal earlier a couple of weeks ago, that the World Cup is something that we have to be mindful of, that the English players are going to want to impress and want to get in that squad. So Bowen is definitely going to be, you know, trying his very best to do, you know, not that he usually doesn't do that, but maybe that tiny extra mile to try and impress at the start of the season.
Yeah, for me, not the pick at the moment because of the price tag and the fixtures at the start. But I can see the upside as well because of the lack of other managers owning him. If he does well, he could become a good bandwagon as well. Foden, I really like. If he can nail down this position, I mean that spot and the games that City have, you want a City attacker for that run. Which one is it? That's a bit hard to tell right now, but maybe it could be Foden. But yeah, I still, the lack of another premium attacker, like we mentioned before, is a bit frightening.
It's more like the price points, isn't it? Because there are plenty of 8 million options. If you go for Foden and we realise that Mahrez is the best option, you could easily switch.
Yeah.
You can move to Saka, or you can move to Kulusevski, or you can move to Mount. There's a wealth of those options. I do like Foden, definitely impressed. And I think he probably will get the nod in game week one. But whether or not he suddenly sometimes gets rests is the big worry. But that's something you have to concede to in that Pep roulette, and we do that every season. It's the trade-off. You have a City player that gets rotated in one of the best teams in the league, or you just go without City because you can't handle that rotation risk. So very difficult. But I'm very tempted by this team. It basically boils down to how scared am I not owning Haaland? And I think the answer would be very. So it's a bit of a toss-up, really. But I do like anyone who's a bit more gung-ho. They want to risk it. I think a team like this is really solid.
Fair enough.
So, yeah. Let's talk about the downsides of it, of course. And that's going about the premium options. But how flexible is this team? Do you think it offers more flexibility than some of the big at the back options, or even the three-meme option we're going to discuss later? Maybe start with the advantages. Is it more flexible?
Yes. in most areas, except for maybe the forward line, which is not too especially in the forward line, because the jump from a 4.5 to what are we looking at, maybe a 9 million above, at least for the start, because all the promoted sides, they only start to get good games in like game week 6, game week 5 time. So that's a steep jump. But apart from that, every other position, you can move about and you can react quickly if you see a player being a good option at the start. That's the only downside I would see in terms of flexibility, at least.
Yeah, really good point. We're obviously not wealthy in the forward line. Of course, we've got Gabriel Jesus, who you just mentioned before the stream started, I think, has hit 70% ownership in the game, which is absolutely crazy. I'm not sure we've ever had that before, even with Mo Salah in his prime. So crazy that you think an Arsenal player is, I guess, he needed the good price. 8 million is super cheap. He needed to be scoring lots of goals pre-season, which he is, and he seems to be that talisman at Arsenal. So what do you think has changed for Jesus? Is it the fact that he was that good at City, but he's just been overshadowed by amazing teammates, and he now has, you know, compared to his teammates in Arsenal, he's just showing that? Or is it the fact that he is just benefiting from a certain system that benefits him as the target man? And yeah,
it could be the latter in terms of like the system has changed. At City, I would say it's a bit more, wouldn't really call it rigid, but Pep likes his players to play certain types of roles, and Gabriel Jesus would have had that role at City. In Arsenal, maybe Arteta wants to play him a slightly different way. I think I saw a quote from Arteta before that he, with regards to describing Jesus, he was like, he causes chaos. So that tells me that he's willing to give Gabriel Jesus a more free role in the front three to be able to move about whenever needed. That kind of gives him more opportunities, maybe different types of play for him as well. So maybe that's why we're seeing him perform really well. Now, in previous seasons, Jesus hasn't been a great FPL asset in terms of longevity. He has like these tiny purple patches, and you try and get on those purple patches, but after that, he doesn't really seem to continue that. Can he do it at Arsenal? We'll have to wait and see. But right now, the early preseason signs are really promising.
Yeah, maybe he's had his purple patch in preseason.
Yeah.
And just falters. Oh,
70% of us are going to regret all of that.
Oh, he almost is a must-have at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, okay. So I really do like this team. I am very tempted. But let's move on to the third draft, which is the three premiums. The threemium, we're calling it. But before we do that, if you are enjoying the stream, make sure to give it a like. And subscribe if you're new around here. We're pushing for subscribers here at Fantasy Football Scout. So everyone that does that will be, that'll be massively appreciated. But let's go on to this threemium draft, which, you know, this isn't the only three-meme draft you can do. You could do it with Son. You could do it with De Bruyne as well. But we've gone for a 4-3-3. We've got Kane, Haaland, and Jesus up front. And then in the midfield, we've got Neto, Salah, and Martinelli. We have to sacrifice at the back. This is the issue. We've got Alexander-Arnold and Perisic, which has been in previous drafts. But then we've had to go down from the likes of Cancelo and James to Walker and Zinchenko here, and then we've got Raya in goal. So plenty to sacrifice if you do go for the three premiums, but it's nice to have Kane, Haaland and Salah in your team, isn't it?
I mean, in terms of not having to worry too much and hiding behind a sofa, maybe this one kind of ticks the boxes. But like you mentioned, you do sacrifice in certain spots. But so right now I'm on a threemium, a slightly different one compared to this. I've got Son instead of Kane. So that's a more 4-4-2 option. But I'm like, is the sacrifice too big? Maybe, is it? I don't really know, because you've got Trent, you've got Perisic, which you have in the other teams. You've got Zinchenko here, which I don't think is too bad. I saw the above average guys as well, FPL guys, mentioning that Zinchenko is like a bonus magnet, could be a good option. You've got Walker. Maybe Walker is probably someone I probably don't think is that great, because his ceiling for me is a bit low. But you could probably move him to someone else if you wanted to. Trippier, if needed, at Newcastle could be another option as well. So there are good price points in the 5 million defensive options. So I wouldn't really ignore those players as well. But yeah, it's a different draft. It's a bit more risky. I don't know if I'm talking to myself in terms of because I'm on a 3 million, I'm trying to convince myself, but I like it.
I mean, I'm very jealous of anyone who owns 3 premiums. And of course, the captaincy rotation is pretty decent in the first 4 or 5 game weeks. We discussed this before we went on stream. I think, you know, Liverpool in game week 1 against Fulham, City game week 2 against Bournemouth, and then Spurs have got, I think it's Wolves in game week 3, but the other two have got harder fixtures.
Yep.
So, and then we're back to Liverpool at Bournemouth in game week 4. So you've got all three of those teams with the best fixtures. So you're definitely getting the benefit of the captaincy there. But as we've stated, you do have to sacrifice quite a lot of the rest of the team. I mean, if we compare it to, you know, big at the back, basically the difference is you've got Kane and then the likes of Walker, Raya and Zinchenko versus... Cancelo, Robertson, Reece James and Edison, like these three massive defenders and goalkeepers. So how much benefit is Kane over those two? It really depends if Walker plays more often than not. It depends if Zinchenko has that added value more so than we actually think. Because Zinchenko's attacking threat is okay, but maybe it's a little bit overplayed at the start of this season.
Yeah, that's something we kind of had to wait and see because we don't know. Zinchenko could play that left back spot. He could play central defensive mid as well if Tierney comes back fit. But that's something we won't see at the start of the season itself. We won't see him move into central defensive mid in the start of the season. He'll most likely play that left back spot. The question is, how much of a difference will it be between those premium defenders compared to maybe here you've got more mid-price defense alongside Kane? Is that going to be, are you going to have too much of a point difference between those? I'm not really sure. I mean, we won't know until this 3 to 4 game weeks in. But they all have their pros and cons, I guess.
Exactly. And you don't have to go for Walker or Zinchenko. There's plenty of other options. You could go for Dalot at 4.5 if you want a Man United defender. We've only got 2 City and 2 Liverpool here. That's the issue. So finding other players that are 4.5 or 5 million. You could go for Trippier with his attacking threat. Are Newcastle going to be more as defensively solid as City? Probably not, but maybe Walker doesn't play the majority of games. So the dilemma is definitely constructed here once you have a third premium. But if you're satisfied with finding a compromise in this defence, then I think it's a really good strategy. And you've definitely nailed that captaincy, the optimal captaincy rotation for City, Liverpool and Spurs. So definitely a viable strategy. I mean, if you had to pick between these three teams specifically, Ryan, what do you think is the best one and what would you favour?
Oh, that's a tough question. I would say
it's tough.
I think it is tough because each team is missing something that puts me off. The bigger the back tells me like the midfield and attack is a bit, I guess the bigger the back right now seems a bit more, in terms of points, seems a bit more better. It's just that that midfield spot is slightly weaker. The spread the funds lacks a few certain premium assets, which I'm scared of. This premium one ticks the premiums but misses out in terms of the defense being a bit more weaker. So it's tough to say.
I can tell you the results of the poll in the chat. I've put up you know, which draft you prefer. And 50%, the highest, prefer the spread the cash one, which is surprising. I thought it would be a little bit left field. And then big at the back, second, and then threemium in third, which I'm not surprised because I think you do sacrifice quite a lot with this threemium draft. I think it's very sensible to go with the big at the back because it is more of the template. I think, you know what you're going to get from these rock solid attacking defenders who are basically midfielders, some of them. But if you wanted something a bit different, I think the spread the cash one is definitely viable. Like it's legitimately viable as well. It's not like I'm just saying as a novelty. I think you definitely could start the season with this team and get a very good score, compare it to the template. I think if you want to try and beat the template, something like this might be the way to go. Because, you know, Haaland might not play every game. He might get rested. Foden could play in that false nine. We just don't know at the end of the day. And it really boils down to how scared are you going without Kane, Son or Haaland, just one of those, and how much value those players add on top of it.
Yeah, true. I guess it's, like you said, it's based on your risk appetite. And also, this season compared to other seasons is slightly different, where we can approach the team, we can approach squads with different ideas, because of the fact that we kind of have two wildcards before midway of the season itself. So that kind of gives managers the ability to increase their risk appetite if they wanted to back certain players against others. So we'll see. Quite a few options, which is good for FPL-wise, but we'll see how it goes.
I think, you know, something to add with this threemium draft is that you could easily downgrade Kane to the likes of Darwin Nunes if you want to get on that.
You could.
And, you know, that saves you, what is it? He's 9 million, 2.5 million, something like that. And you can upgrade the defence there. It's basically Kane and Walker and Perisic versus Nunes, Cancelo and Reece James, which, you know, sounds pretty good, actually. That downgrade, spreading the cash of Kane to Darwin Nunes, Cancelo and Reece James, actually is a pretty decent compromise. So you could definitely play around with some of these structures and get to a suitable compromise. And then it starts looking quite an interesting team. So and that's why we tinker as FPL managers, to find the perfect team. And as you've said, Ryan, each of these three teams have their downfalls, but I don't think any team we're going to construct is going to be perfect on paper. Always going to have to make that compromise. So yeah, I think we'll leave it there. It's been a really good video to talk about the three different main structures you can go for that I think are viable. Thank you very much for joining me, Ryan, and thank you for everyone in the chat, voting and all your comments and everything. One last reminder, please give the video a like and subscribe if you're new around here. Ryan, keep me up to date with how your draft is going. Are you still on a freemium after this video?
Yes.
Oh my goodness me.
If I'm to rip up my team right now, then all my research and everything just goes out of the window. So I'm just going to stick to my guts, back myself, and then maybe if I don't have to play a wildcard in game week two, we'll see. But right now I'm sticking to my guts. We'll see.
Love it. Okay, we'll leave it there. Thanks again, everyone. And best of luck and enjoy the rest of the Fantasy Football Scout content for the rest of the week up until the game week one deadline. And anyone at Fest, I will see you there on Friday. Sorry to everyone who lives internationally. You can always make the effort, but it would be an expensive plane flight, wouldn't it?
It's fine. We'll say hi from the other side of the world.
Love it. Okay, see you guys. Have a good one.
See ya.